talked about offensive breakdown on my Facebook JFile Lab. Hey, look at it. Five keys. We talked about it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it on the pod today on Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. This show is brought to you by Trifecta Training. We train your mind. We train your body. We train skills. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I think this will be a great show if you're a coach and a basketball player. Much like life, you know, the things you do on the court, if you do it the right way, it does teach you how to do things right off the court. I've struggled with that at times, of course, trying to better myself as a person and a player and a coach. And I think we're all in this together. You don't always make the right choices. Strive to do that, though. Making the right choice as a basketball player offensively, we're talking straight offense today, has a lot to do about how you involve others. It isn't about just you as an individual. I think great teams always seem to have a great blend of team chemistry and find a way to share the ball, pass up good shots for great shots. These are coach speak things, but they're very important to reiterate with your team. I'm a big believer with offense that you want to have multiple ways to score and you want to have multiple ways to get great shots. How do you do that? Well, I think it goes back to the fundamentals and the foundation of your teaching. Are players learning how to handle the ball correctly, shoot the ball correctly, pass the ball, screen? Those are great things. How to move without the ball. So many things we could talk about, but we'll get right to the nuts and bolts here. I think spacing is something that is just everything now with offensive basketball. You know, we as coaches want five players out. We want the lane cleared. We want the floor space so no matter what we run, a player can drive, pass, shoot with room. Back in the day, it was very common to come down and dribble over to the wing of the guard and enter it to the post. There was action to get the ball early to the post. Sometimes a big would just run and post the block, get him the ball. And I don't think that's bad. I think, you know, I mentioned in my post, post play matters. Like, as coaches, we need to find a way to get the ball inside more. I think teams are starting to realize that everybody wants to shoot threes. Everybody wants to play on the perimeter. What happens is when you play that way and you're not a good shooting team, I see a lot of bad shooting teams play perimeter basketball that it just doesn't work. You know, you need to be more of a driving team if you're not making shots from the outside. It's very simple, right? It's a simple sport. Or get the ball inside. Let's get it closer and get better looks. And I think that, you know, I see it all the time. Bad teams do things that they shouldn't do. Simple analogy, right? Bad teams do things they should not do. Bad teams do things they're not skilled enough to do. Bad teams take bad shots from outside. You know, I've seen teams play perimeter style basketball and there's four guys on the floor that have no business shooting three-pointers. I mean, this is probably more lower level basketball, but even college and pro, you see teams taking more three-point shots, shooting a low percentage, you know, low 30s, even under 30%, and you see five or six possessions where half those possessions they shot a three-point shot and made maybe one. That's six possessions where you made 3 points. You know, our team, we had a conversation the other day, and I asked, I said, look, we've played 6 to 8 minutes, guys. How many points have we had? And everyone kind of stared and looked around, and I said, we've probably had 6 or 8 points in 5 or 6 minutes of play. And number one, you better be a great defensive team. Number two, at the highest levels, that's just not going to cut it. You cannot have 5 to 6 minutes of play of only getting 3 or 4 made buckets. It's just can't happen. You know, and that's why the NBA, you watch games, high-level pro basketball in Europe, you know, EuroLeague, whatever it is. You know, 5, 6 minutes are past. Sometimes teams already have 15 to 20 points because they're getting great looks. They're doing what they do best. They run stuff that makes sense, and they do what they do. You know, if you're a good shooting team, you're going to design sets. Yeah, try to get great looks. But more times than not, at the lower level, we've got coaches and players, of course. This isn't, you know, one person or one type of person doesn't get all the blame here. I don't believe in that. Coaches and players, we're all one here. If you're a bad shooting team, number one, you got to work on, hey, get shots up individually and as a team. You know, we got to improve shooting percentage. But run stuff that makes sense for your team's success. And I see so many teams at every level. They're just, again, chucking threes, taking bad shots, not playing the style they should be playing. You earn everything in this life and sport. You know, everything you earn is typically what the work you put in. If you want to be a great shooting team, you want to play perimeter basketball, you better put the work in and the time in. And that's just bottom line. So run stuff that's effective, that makes sense for your team, for your roster. And yeah, if you're at the highest level and you were talking pro basketball or college, you want to recruit, right? Or you want to sign and draft players. You want to improve shooting. You're going to have to find those guys. You got to find those guys and get them. And, you know, basic stuff we're talking about today, but it matters. It definitely matters. Skill-wise, I think dribble pass shoot, being a triple threat, you know, there's a lot of ways we can attack this. You know, I think every player on your roster should learn everything as one. Now, do you break down groups and have bigs work with bigs and guards? Absolutely, because you have to have team success. But I think there's got to be an allotted time where every one of your players is able to physically dribble the basketball well at a high level, shoot the basketball well at a high level, pass the basketball at a high level. And then you obviously get into different skills, off the catch, pivoting, different moves off the catch, getting space on your shot, separation techniques, all that stuff is very important. But the basic is drills that improve ball handling in transition, not just stationary. Stuff that you can do with passing drills, partner pass drills, is something I'm huge on. I think there's no reason why every coach should not have two players partnering up and working on passing. Dribble, stop, bounce pass. Next player, escape dribbles, dribbles forward, jump stop, pass. Simple stuff, and then you get into maybe a one-hand pass or, you know, drive quick and make a fake a pass, make a pass stuff. Passing, those skills, dribbling, being able to catch the basketball correctly, square up. I mean, very, very important. And I think, you know, you'll see practices where coaches won't do any of that. They'll get right into concepts, which, yes, it's so important. You got to have good concepts. You know, you got to know what you're going to run. You got to know how you're going to build as a team. But build up in that. The foundation is skill. Teaching players skills all together as one. And then we can break down one half court and the other half court and get into position stuff. But every player should really want to be able to be a better ball handler, a better shooter, a better passer offensively. And these are things you have to do. You know, a simple drill for me, again, is the partner pass. Because now you're teaching players how to dribble, pass, and catch. You know, and then it's the two-man drill or three-man drill. You know, you get out of the break, dribble, drive, kick, catch, rip, drive, pass, next guy shoots. I mean, these are 2 to 3 man drills, very important in your offensive structure. So that's more in the team stuff, but still skill related. Lastly, you know, this is a quick show. I encourage efficiency is everything today in the sport. People want to know percentages. Where are players making the most shots? Analytics is everything. And it has to be a part of your structure. You know, where are players hitting shots? Are we making more shots inside? Are we, you know, hitting more shots effectively from the outside? Have drills set up to where you're seeing this. You got to know what you're getting into. That kind of goes back into the foundation of, you know, how many times are we turning the basketball over? Too much. Well, we got to get back to the basics, partner passing, getting out of the break, catching, pivoting, and being solid fundamentally. But I think efficiency is, you know, how many shots did we get up? What's our percentage? Where are we hitting most of our shots? And what sets are we scoring the most out of? You know, that's what analytics is really all about in this sport, guys. What sets work the most? Where are we hitting the shots? Where are we not turning the ball over? Are we a driving team or are we a catch and shooting team? You know, analytics is huge, but you got to know, you know, what type of team are we? Analytics helps with that. Absolutely. You know, if you watch the Warriors, look, they'd be down 7 or 8. Points plus because they're such a good shooting team. They run a lot of concepts where it's dribble handoff, you know, or pass to the high post, try to get, you know, Steph and Clay open on some actions multiple times, and they're getting great looks. They can come back quickly because they're a shooting team, and that's why they were so successful over the years. But find a way to know where you're most efficient, work on drills that show where you're efficient, and I think you'll have a great season. Hey, thanks for listening in. This is Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll have more offensive breakdown this week on the show.